Senator Eric Schmidt released a Biden-era memo this week detailing how the previous administration was shielding millions of people from deportation through prosecutorial discretion guidelines. The release is politically timed. Republicans want to contrast Biden's approach with the current administration's enforcement posture. But the memo itself is a fairly detailed document about how immigration enforcement priorities were set at the agency level, and it raises legitimate questions about executive branch discretion that courts have been wrestling with for years.
The White House's public clash with Senator John Thune over the SAVE Act is the more immediately consequential political story. Press Secretary Leavitt explicitly warned that Trump's patience is running out with Thune over the stalled voter ID bill, and she called on Senate Republicans to pass it before the August recess. That's a remarkable public confrontation with the Senate Majority Leader, the person responsible for managing the Republican caucus, that the White House needs to pass everything else on its agenda.
The SAVE Act has been stuck because a handful of Senate Republicans have concerns about implementation, specifically about the burden it places on states and on American citizens who don't have certain types of documentation readily available. Thune is caught between a White House demanding action and members who represent states with legitimate administrative concerns. The public pressure campaign from the White House is a high-risk move because it can entrench resistance as much as it overcomes it.
Then there's the Cyclospora outbreak. A lettuce-borne illness has sickened thousands of people. Fox News correspondent Peter Doocy asked Trump directly when it would be safe to eat lettuce again, and the president replied, "I don't know." That answer would be unremarkable if the administration had a visible public health response running in parallel. But the context here is that Taylor Farms, a major produce supplier, met with White House officials before the FDA walked back its earlier finding about the source of the outbreak. That sequence of events, company meets White House, FDA reverses itself, is the kind of thing that generates congressional inquiries.
The Department of Energy made an extraordinary admission this week. It canceled clean energy grants based on how states voted in 2024. Not based on project merit, not based on changed regulatory priorities, not based on budget constraints, based on electoral outcomes. That is, in the most direct terms, the executive branch using federal resources as a partisan tool. The legal exposure here is substantial because there are long-standing prohibitions on federal grant decisions being made on political grounds.
Ken Paxton's Senate campaign, admitting to returning $17,500 in contributions that exceeded federal legal limits, is the kind of story that would be a major scandal in a normal news cycle. In this one, it's almost a footnote, but it matters because Paxton is simultaneously the Texas Attorney General who has brought major legal challenges against federal authority. The gap between his rhetoric about rule of law and his campaign's actual compliance with campaign finance law is notable.
And the Trump correspondents' dinner, held 3 months late because of a shooting, had Trump calling himself oversensitive to press coverage before going after CNN's Anderson Cooper and Caitlin Collins by name. The self-deprecation about being oversensitive is the kind of disarming move that tends to work in that format. Whether the targeting of specific journalists by name crosses a line that matters to the Washington Press Corps is a different question.
There's also the broader political maneuvering to watch. Vance allies are publicly warning of what they're calling a coordinated GOP operation to derail his 2028 presidential bid. The fact that allies are saying this publicly before he's even an announced candidate tells you they're trying to get ahead of a narrative, which means the narrative is already circulating privately. And Chuck Schumer convening closed-door Senate Democrat simulations of doomsday scenarios for the November midterms tells you the minority party is thinking seriously about institutional resilience in a way that goes beyond typical election prep.
The Charles Kushner story adds one more layer. The U.S. ambassador to France and father-in-law of Jared Kushner announced he's leaving New York City and becoming a Florida resident specifically because of what he called the anti-Semitism of new NYC mayor Zohran Mamdani. The NYC police union this week separately warned that Mamdani's call for protests related to Netanyahu endangers officers. Mamdani, who won the Democratic primary in June on a progressive platform, is becoming a focal point for national tensions around Israel policy even before he's formally taken office.